He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Lord, I pray today that as we hear your word, that your Holy Spirit will lead us to know how we can watch and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Palm Sunday, and we celebrate and remember and commemorate the entrance of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. This prepares for a whole week, a busy week for Jesus and his disciples and for the whole Jewish people. It ends on Friday as Jesus is arrested and charged and jailed and punished and tortured and crucified on a cross. Jesus enters Jerusalem to the cheers of the people and also the disciples. The way, the path, the roadway has been paved with cloaks and with palm branches. It was like a celebration of what might become Jesus's coronation. Our passage in chapter 13 is sandwiched between that picture of celebration on Palm Sunday and the horror of crucifixion to come on Friday. Some of those who cheered Hosanna on Sunday cried out, "Crucify him," on Friday. But sandwiched in between those highs and lows was the hum of a busy week as Jesus and his disciples moved throughout the town, as they moved out into Bethany to visit with friends, as they moved back toward the temple, as they entered into the temple and were surrounded by all of the huge and splendid grandeur of this temple. And there, walking beside one of the massive cornerstones, was Jesus and his disciples. One of those disciples comments about the size of the block that was used to build the temple. And Jesus responds to him by saying that the building that they are so proud of will be destroyed and dismantled even in the not too distant future. And then Jesus begins to talk to them about not just the temple's destruction, but he talks to them about the end of days, where there will be a kind of dismantling that will affect life as they knew it. I think Jesus is even speaking to us in our day and time in this passage. Recently, I've been reading the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the New Testament, written by the disciple John. This New Testament book of Revelation is packed with all kinds of imagery and descriptions of cities and peoples and creatures. It uses numbers to emphasize important details. In Revelation, the scene bounces from chapter and verse back and forth between what's happening in heaven, where God is, and what's happening on earth, where humankind is. Revelation describes a day when all things will be judged by God, all people will be judged by God, where all things, all people will be made right by God, and a day that will begin life with God forevermore. Now, when I was taught Revelation as a child and a teenager, back in those days, it seemed like the thing that was just done. You had classes and taught about in youth groups the book of Revelation and the end times. Well, when I was being taught about it, even into college, it caused me to be afraid. I did not want to go through the tribulation. I'll just be honest. I did not want to go through the tribulation and the suffering of those 7 years. I did not want to be arrested and put in jail and tortured and punished and put to death because I was a Christian. I did want to be raptured and to be taken up so that I could skip the tribulation time. I did want to be a part of that great supper of the Lamb. I did want to be a part of the great heavenly army that would descend and be victorious at the Battle of Armageddon. All of these details about the end times that I wanted to be certain about. As I've been reading Revelation recently, my desire for certainty about the details and how things end up seems to have changed. As I've been reading, the same imagery is there, the same numbers, the same creatures, the same beast, the bouncing back and forth between heaven and earth. It's all there. But I'm noticing a different response in me from that of being a teenager to now being middle-aged. That different response in me is one of calm and peace. There's a comfort there in the reading of Revelation today. Not because I know the outcome any more than I did when I was a teenager, but because I know the God who is at the controls. That's the difference. Because I know the one who is the beginning, the Alpha, and who is the ending, the Omega. There is calm and comfort and peace because I know the author and I know the finisher. When Jesus enters into the city, I know that the empty tomb and Jesus' resurrected life wins out over the suffering and the cross. The peace and the calm and the comfort comes to me, and I believe it comes to us because we know who Jesus is. The day when Jesus was leaving the temple, Jesus shifted into a mindset that none of his disciples were ready for. He began to talk about a day to come none of them could imagine. He does not go into detailed teaching about the meaning of the prophecies, or of the symbols, or of the numbers, or of the cities, or of the creatures, none of that. Jesus speaks prophetically in chapter 13 about a day to come, and with some details that he includes, but they're unexplained. Jesus' advice to his disciples, in order for them to be ready, is not learn all of the symbols and all of the details, become more informed and more studied based on what the scholars have to say about the end of days. What is Jesus' advice to his disciples for them to be ready? Keep watch. Keep watch. He does not say understand more. He says keep watch. Why does he say that? He says that no one knows the day or the hour. No one. No one knows the day or the hour when things will happen except the Heavenly Father. He is the only one that knows. So, because of that, Jesus says to his disciples, keep watch. And he says that to us today. Jesus says, be on guard. Be alert and pray. Did you know that when Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was about to be arrested, He approaches the three disciples who were the closest to him, and he invites them to go with him and to pull away from the others and to watch and pray. He did not want them to fall asleep, which is what they did. He wanted them to stay awake and be alert and watch and join with him in the work of that hour for him, which was prayer. Keep watch with me, Jesus said to his disciples. No one knows the day or the hour when things will happen except the Father in heaven. So keep watch, be on guard, be alert, and pray. Because that owner of the house will return, and the servants don't know when, so be ready, be watching. The peace and calm and comfort for disturbing prophecies comes to us when Jesus promises that he will return. The peace and calm and comfort for disturbing times comes to us when Jesus promises us that he will return. You and I do not know when, but you and I don't have to worry. So, I leave us with these encouragements and exhortations, and hear them as if Jesus were saying them to us, you and me both. The peace and calm and comfort for disturbing prophecies and days and times comes to us when Jesus promises us that he will return. So we do not worry, but we keep watch. Keep watch, Jesus says. Expect me, Jesus says. Trust me. Believe me. Believe what I said. Hope in me. Depend on me, Jesus says. Count on me. Know me, Jesus says, and know my words. Remember me, Jesus says. Keep close to me. Watch for me. Meet with me. Commune with me. Pray to me. Grow in me. Bear much fruit in your life because of me. Desire me. Seek me. Abide in me. Walk with me. Keep up with me. Don't be discouraged. Do not be afraid. Don't get anxious. Or maybe don't let your anxieties rise up greater than me, Jesus says. Don't try to figure it all out. What I say to you, I say to everyone, keep watch and pray. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. There's some smart people that can help us to think about what the days and the times might be. But Jesus is crystal clear. Nobody knows except the Heavenly Father. And he's not telling anybody. So in the meantime, keep watch. Keep watch, brother. Keep watch, sister. Keep watch and pray. Amen. Lord, today we want to have our eyes set upon you. There's a lot of noise in this world, Lord. There's all kinds of speculations. Our world is filled with turmoil and uncertainty. Communities and lives are ravaged by war and strife and disease. Natural disasters seem to always raise their ugly heads when we least expect it. Even in our own experiences, it seems like that we're surprised when difficulty and strain and tragedy touch our lives. And Lord, we might would want to talk with you and ask of you the same things that your disciples have always wanted to know. Lord, when will these things happen? Lord, how will they happen? Lord, how will these things that are coming impact me and my family and my community of faith, Lord? Give us an answer. And Jesus, you still answer that same way. Keep watch and pray. And so, Lord, in all of these various ways, might we keep our eyes set upon you, and might we push even harder toward you, Lord. Might we walk in step even more closely with your Holy Spirit. Might we abide even more deeply with you in communion. And might you continue, even in these days, to form in us the image of your Son and bring about out of our lives and out of our community of faith a fruitfulness that can only be described as the mighty power of God displayed. Lord, thank you for your word, every bit of it. Thank you for the challenge of it. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes we'll read a chapter or a verse that rattles us. It's as if it wakes us up, Lord, to the reality of you in our world. So, Lord, keep us awake. Keep us alert. Keep us on watch. Keep us, Lord, praying. All for your glory. Amen. We end our service today with a